From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on February 16th, 1965, with a meeting in Rochester. Civil rights icon Malcolm X was in town. It was his third visit and his last. The leader was assassinated 5 days later. The late Constance Mitchell, the first black woman voted into office in Monroe County, described that visit during an interview with City Newspaper in 2005. She said, quote, "It was almost like he was forecasting his death," end quote. She was referring to Malcolm X's speech in Rochester at Cornhill Methodist Church. That talk, entitled Not Just an American Problem, but a World Problem, touched on the 1964 race riots in Rochester, the media's depiction of African Americans, and how he felt the civil rights movement should be reconceptualized. He met with Mitchell and Minister Franklin Florence during that visit. Their meeting was captured by a photo, which will now serve as the inspiration for a mural on the wall at East High School. The mural will be painted by a Rochester native, Ephraim Gebrey, the artist behind the I Am Speaking mural of civil rights icon John Lewis, which is in downtown Rochester. This hour, our guests are discussing plans for the mural, and they remember that historic visit in Rochester. And I'm going to welcome first on the phone the artist. Ephraim is with us. Ephraim, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me. Absolute honor.
And in a moment, we're going to welcome Connie, who is here, and we're going to let Connie get all set up and take her time there. It's an honor to talk to you, Ephraim. Thanks for making the time. And before we kind of get a chance to talk to Connie here, can you give me a sense for the mission of what you're doing this time around, Ephraim? Tell us a little bit about what you're hoping to accomplish here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you for having me again.
Sure.
It's always nice to be in the company of great people like yourself, as well as the families of Franklin Florence and, Connie Mitchell. To play off of, John Lewis and the work we've been doing across America, Chicago, Louisville, Kentucky, Rochester, we really just want to tell these untold stories, stories that are kind of, hidden away. And kind of bring them to the light, because it's imperative to know, where we were and where we're going. And, to kind of play off of the strengths and indomitable spirits that these people possessed. So once again, I intend to, immortalize, these icons and figures from Rochester in oil enamel, large scale, 1,400 square feet, about half the size of John Lewis, to be painted on East High School. Super excited to, have the youth at East High School be involved and be able to participate in the dialogue. So we're ramping up right now, with meetings like this, fundraising, and kind of getting people involved, as many people involved as possible. Talking with the city, talking to U of R, talking to, leaders and students at East High School, and I'm hoping to make even bigger of a splash than we did with John Lewis. We're getting even more people and organizations involved.
And what's the timeline here, Ephraim?
We're shooting for spring 2022. Mm-hmm. We've actually just got approval from the Historical Preservation Society, because East High School is, a landmark, which has been pretty, preserved really well. And so, they wanted to make sure that there wasn't any damage to the structure of the building, which it won't be, because this is like a topical, thing. It's not going to be, invasive. We're not drilling. We're not, doing anything crazy like that. So we're really excited about that. And so that is the biggest step. That was the biggest hurdle for us to get on the ground and, get painting.
Let me welcome in studio with us Constance Mitchell Jefferson, who is Constance Mitchell's daughter, who is with us. It is wonderful to see you. Thank you for being here. Go ahead and feel free to grab that microphone and bring it nice and comfortably close to you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome as well to Minister Clifford Florence, Associate Minister at the Central Church of Christ, son of Minister Franklin D. Florence. Welcome back, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And when we go back and read the city newspaper piece from 2005, the late Constance Mitchell talked about that meeting, and I want to ask Constance Mitchell Jefferson to describe, you know, as best as you can that story that I think a lot of Rochesterians are not familiar with, the story of Malcolm X's speech in Rochester and that visit and what happened there. What can you tell us?
Well, you have to remember that I was only a young child at that time. And a lot of people ask me, you know, what do you remember about Malcolm X? And I remember him. I don't remember his. I remember his face. I don't remember his personality.
What did your mother
like
say about it?
My mom felt as though Malcolm coming to Rochester was, and that wasn't the first time he had been here, mm-hmm. but that evening was very instrumental in laying the groundwork for all that she and Minister Florence and the fight organization and the community leaders, the people that were community activists at that time, were trying to do. Some of the things that he said, you know, she felt were a little controversial because, you know, this was right after he came from Mecca, and a lot of people were saying that he, prior to going to Mecca, was a racist. And then after he came back from Mecca and he realized some things, he was a lot more grounded. And she felt as though his speech that evening was a different Malcolm. It wasn't the Malcolm that was fire and brimstone. You know, this was more passion and more humanity based.
And Minister Florence, what's the story as you understand it from that time?
Well, I think when I listened to some of the things that I heard from my father, he thought it was a pivotal point for the Black community. Certainly to speak to our community about the organizing and the clarity that needed to happen among Black people in particular. The fate of our success in Rochester and Monroe County was based on following leadership, and that leadership trying to lead this community through the same issues that we're facing now. And it's ironic that the very things that Malcolm did speak about that evening are the same issues that face us today. And also the same issues in the Black community. There's no collective leadership. There's no organized organizations that can push the agenda for Black people. And because there was a lack of fellowship for the continuum of the fight organization, for example, if you look back at that critical piece, the breakdown of organizations that were working well together with fight to address Black people's issues, that pretty much is dissipated in this community. So therefore, now we're faced with looking at the very things that the fight organization, Mrs. Mitchell, my father, and others that supported them, all we're looking at is the darkness of crime, not the progression of people's economic standing, you know, better housing, better education. So we have to revisit the same agenda that we were working on back in the 60s and make sure that we make it prevalent for today's world. And I can appreciate the comment that Connie made about being controversial, but it's interesting that you have to be controversial to make change. And so if you don't want change, then you go with the status quo. Malcolm was not a status quo person. So therefore, when you think about it, the people that are trying to speak for the Black community are predominantly status quo, holding the standard of what always should be. It's time for a change, and I think that was what Malcolm was trying to prepare the white community for and prepare the Black community for.
Anything you want to add to that, Constance?
No, I was thinking, you know, I just recently revisited the video, the documentary July 64. And Minister Florence in July 64 was asked by Carvin, do you believe that, you know, the things that you fought for in 1964 are the same issues or different issues in, what was it, late 90s or early 2000 when they did the video? And he said the same issues that presented themselves then, housing, education, and jobs, are the same issues that are today. And I believe that. And basically what he just said is the same thing. It's the same issues. It's just a different time.
But let me ask you, why do you think the issues almost 60 years after, and again, what if we're going to talk as much as we can this hour as we have time before President Biden is going to be making some remarks later this hour. But, you know, this was some of the final words of Malcolm X. I mean, he was assassinated 5 days later. Mm-hmm. So he came to Rochester in 1965. If those issues that were prevalent then are still here, why, Constance?
There are so many reasons, Evan. I mean, we could begin to start going 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 1,000 if we wanted to.
What's the top of the list?
I think the top of the list is systemic issues, systemic racism, systemic issues around people not still accepting African Americans as citizens and as Americans and wanting to provide them with the same or equal rights. And it's not only African Americans, it's Black, brown, and yellow people. You know, they're Asians, Indians, African Americans, Hispanics. This country just does not accept that difference. And until we embrace that difference and put everybody on an equal playing field. Right now, today, the words are equality versus equity. And people say, okay, well, they're both the same thing. No, they're not. Equality is giving people the same rights and bringing them to a level stage in life, giving them those opportunities. But equity is making sure that as you bring the individuals who were not as entitled to that point of equality, you are also remembering that you've got to give them a little bit more of a push to be able to bring about equity, because they're not coming from the same learning curve. They're not coming from the same opportunities. They're not coming from the same experiences that have prepared them to be able to be on equal footing. So you've got to provide them with the opportunities to not only have the equal footing, but prepare them for that equal footing.
Minister, why do you think so many issues are the same that Malcolm X and so many leaders were addressing in the 60s, and here we are in 2021, and it's many of the same issues?
Well, institutional, structural, and individual racism is at the core of the problem. It's not one of the issues among many. It is the issue. And so until we face that reality, because let's face it, it was embedded in the system of America since day one. So if that privilege is not removed, then we will continue to fight against a structure that we're not dismantling. So we have to dismantle privilege. We have to dismantle unfair advantages. We have to change laws, practices, procedures, rules, regulations, because that's when you begin to get at the problem. You notice that our Congress, our senators, our assembly people, our mayors, our county execs, they're not working from that vantage point. They're working as if everything is the same. We're looking at more crime in this city. No one has any answers. Why? Because we don't want to address better education. We don't want to provide better jobs. We don't want to give people better housing. The tax structure in the city is deplorable compared to the advantages that people have in the rural and the suburbs. The development, the sprawl that's going even to farm communities that we can't see here on Joseph Avenue and North Street and Hudson and Genesee Street. So it's by design. So until the design is changed and inclusion of Black people in the leadership of this state, the county and the city, white people will always have the advantage. And you can't put status quo people in and have them speak for our community when they never interface with the black community. They don't live in the city. We have black people, for example, who are trying to speak for the black community, and they live out on a farm or they live out in the suburbs, and they're trying to get strategic positions that people who need to be included, always marginalized, never get an opportunity to sit at the table. And even with the initiatives that have taken place, like RAISE and others, they marginalize the very people that they claim that they're speaking for. And then they say the community must own the process, and they're not even a part of the process. That would never happen in suburbia. That would not happen in these rural towns that are trying to develop, only in the core city. The Crescent in particular, that has the poorest representation at every level of government, because that community looks the same as it did 60 years ago, save some scattered improvement that's been stuck in there so people could feel guilt-free that we're at least trying to put something in that community, but not like you're doing at 12 Corners.
Let me ask the artist, Ephraim Gebre is with us, talking about a mural that's going to be painted on the wall at East High School. And can you describe again, for people just joining us, who is depicted in what will become this mural, Ephraim?
So from left to right, there'll be the Reverend Franklin Florence, Center, Malcolm X, and to the right, it will be Constance Mitchell. I think it's super important, you know, that we pay homage to these people, especially in, you know, in the arts. We all know art has the power to transform, you know, the hearts and minds of our communities, especially in our youth. You know, I've had the personal pleasure to see the types of constructive, healing, unifying dialogue that these projects facilitate, you know, and I and my team intend to continue making a safe place to do so. You know, in these times, it's increasingly important to share these untold stories, especially with our youth, because that's where we find our value, you know, our collective worth and our idea of what's possible. You know, it's from the strengths and accomplishments, you know, of those that preceded us. So it's imperative that we honor these icons, movers and shakers in our history.
What does it mean, Minister Florence, to know who's going to be depicted and what it means in your family?
It's a great honor, and certainly we want to thank those who played a part in making my father be remembered. I also want to say that I hope that there's some opportunity to also honor my mother as well. I think it's very important that it always takes a team to do effective things in any sphere of change, but we count it a privilege to be considered, and hopefully we can build on this, because our friend was talking about the magnificence of the arts and music that make a change. But here again, this is the very thing that's cut out of the city school district for our children to build on, exactly the school and schools that murals will go up. The very thing that we're touting here is what's being cut. We have all this extra money. Why wouldn't there be programs that would be tied to this effort as we're raising money for the mural? Why wouldn't our students benefit? Why wouldn't the parents of the students benefit? So I think instead of having a tunnel vision about just doing a thing, I think there are multiple things that we can do. But I want to say to our friend that there needs to be conversation, that whatever good we do for a wall, let's do something good for people. And so if we can do something for our students, if we can do something for our parents, if we can do something for the church to connect, I'm a pastor, and I think it's a missed opportunity that the church is not brought into these opportunities right now where people are struggling. The church is being so marginalized, and the church should be at the very center, as it was historically. It ought to be the hotbed of everything that's going on in the world. But particularly in Rochester, we have lost our spiritual footing. And I think that needs to be turned around like yesterday. And we need to be brought into this great opportunity where Mrs. Mitchell, my dad, Malcolm X, but there's a broader conversation that we need to have. And that's pointing to the racism that we kind of skirt around. But when we recognize other heroes in the white community, it's a given that it's going to live on. It's going to be contributed to. It's going to be supported. But this might be a one-time thing, and then we go move to something else. I'm saying while we have the attention of the community, instead of pulling money away from the arts and music, we have a chance to bring the full pressure of whatever our students and families need as a part of this step forward. It would be a great thing. And don't forget the church, because Minister Franklin Florence is not only a community activist, he's been a pastor in this city for over 60 years. And that is the piece that is left out of many of his great accomplishments, that his church is in the downtown area and it's been there for over 51 years. So that needs to be brought into the conversation of the accomplishments as well.
Mm-hmm. Constance, what does it mean for your family?
Oh, it's definitely an honor. When I was first approached about this mural, they said, oh, we want to do a mural, you know, we want to use the photo of your mom and Malcolm X. And I said, oh, well, that's good. I said, you know, where are you thinking about putting it? And so they were looking around for a location and everything. And then as I thought about it more and more, I said, well, what version of this photograph are you using? Because there's a lot of versions that float around. There's my mom and Malcolm is the most widely used. But you do know that Minister Florence was a part of that evening and was also depicted in that picture. And there's actually a fourth person in there that never gets mentioned as well. And her name is Doris Price, who worked as a community activist as well at that time. But I said, if the purpose of this mural is to educate young people about the change makers in the Rochester area and the people that committed their lives to change and have had a lasting impact on this community and our country, then you know what? You've got to include Minister Florence in this picture, because as a person that works in the equity arena, I know the history is that Minister Florence was instrumental in fighting Kodak to hire people of color. And because of that fight, he met a gentleman by the name of Joe Wilson, who was the head of Xerox Corporation. And Xerox actually went on to implement a lot of what Minister Florence was trying to achieve through Kodak and serve as an example, and was the first company in this country to actually instill diversity in hiring and diversity in promoting and everything. So, you know, I tell anybody that has the title equity, diversity, inclusion, or anything in their job title today, you have to thank Minister Florence, because if it had not been for his efforts some 60 years ago, this would never have begun. As far as my mom is concerned, you know, there are so many things that are being done in honor of my mom. This is just one of them. There is a group of teachers in the city school district that do an anti-racism curriculum. And little did I know until probably 6 months ago that they had developed an ebook for fourth grade readers on my mom and everything that she had accomplished and did. And I just recently met with Leslie Youngblood, who's a children's author, and she is actually authoring the ebook of Connie Mitchell.
Fabulous. She's one of the best.
Yeah, for fourth grade readers. So I'm really excited. And in May of 2019, a year after my mom's passing and on her birthday, May 19th, Cheryl DeNolfo and the county legislator changed the name of the legislative corridor in Monroe County building to the County Mitchell Legislative Chambers. So, you know, I'm just proud. I know every time these things occur, I can feel my mom's spirit around me, and I can feel her saying, they're doing all this for me. You know, she, even though she carried a big stick, she was a very humble person.
Mm. Ephraim, do you want to add to that?
No, absolutely. I mean, I haven't had a chance to meet with you two until now.
Looking forward to it.
It'd be a privilege.
I'm like out of my skin right now. I'm super excited. You know, I'm super excited to, you know, hear you guys' voices and hear you guys, position on the project. And I'm really humbled, and I'm really eager and excited to bring this to life. And, to add on to, getting the church involved, I'm 110%, you know, down with that. You know, let's meet up. I'm in New York City right now, but I plan on being up in Rochester in the next week or so, and I really look forward to sitting down and getting some more of these stories and kind of, you know, getting these ideas down on paper. As we're ramping up to do this mural in the spring, I do want to get, you know, as many as your, you know, your you guys' people involved as possible.
I'm really happy to hear that, because that was one of the things that I was saying to Clifford before we came on air, was that, you know, my hope in that us doing this today and having the opportunity to meet with you is that you will get to know the people, so that when you're painting that picture, the same way you did with John Lewis, everybody knew everything about John Lewis, you know, but I want you to have that same familiarity as you're painting that mural, and know that the spirit of these individuals should come off of that page, off of that wall.
They need to be,
when people look at it, they need to be able to envision them walking off that wall and doing all the things that they did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, we want to, put a QR code on there and kind of give some of these backstories, some of these YouTube videos, some of these articles. I had the privilege to go to U of R and go and check out their archives. And so I have the original pictures of that day of Malcolm X's speech. And Franklin Florence, I've seen, his baby pictures, And so that really, amped me up, and it kind of builds that relationship, kind of like going, back into the past and kind of uncovering these things that I didn't even know about until, this mural was proposed to me. Mm-hmm. And so I feel really, really blessed and lucky, to be able to, interact with you guys in this way, and also to be able to, highlight, these amazing people that have paved the way for me, to be who I am, growing up in Rochester. Born and raised, actually, in St. Simon's Terrace, right across from Fight Village. Not having any idea about these things, from school or anything like that. So to be able to interact and participate in this dialogue in this way is really, really a treat, and something that, I'll cherish forever, and I really look forward to, getting this started and getting the paint on the wall.
Talking to Ephraim Gebreh, who is an artist who is the man behind the mural of civil rights icon John Lewis in Rochester that you've probably seen. And on the wall of East High School, there will be a new mural inspired by the photo we've been talking about and the meeting between Malcolm X in Rochester with Minister Franklin Florence, Constance Mitchell. This was 1965, just 5 days before Malcolm X was assassinated. Just want to let you know, listeners, that we're waiting just a few minutes. When the White House calls, they say, and they've got things to say about the pandemic, we're going to take it. President Biden is visiting the National Institutes of Health today, talking about the approach to COVID this winter and the response to Omicron, the new variant, which has made its first appearance in the United States. So when the president begins speaking, you will hear that in just a few minutes here. I want to just read it. If I've got time, I'm going to try to squeeze this in here. And I encourage everybody to read the 2005 City newspaper piece in which Constance Mitchell talked about meeting Malcolm X. This is some of what Constance said about Malcolm X, which I thought was so interesting. says that that he didn't have anything against Martin Luther King, but it was clear that Dr. King had a different philosophy, the nonviolent movement. 99%, this is a quote now from Constance, 99% of us in that room were active in the civil rights movement. My husband and I went to Selma, but Malcolm didn't believe in turning the other cheek. He just didn't think it would get us what we were looking for, end quote. Constance Mitchell Jefferson, what do you make of that today?
I understand both sides of that coin. I understand how it is to want to make change, to get angry when you don't see change occurring, but to be, but you have to also realize that sometimes violence begets more violence. And so particularly in the climate that we're in this country today, anything that you can do to remain level-headed, I think, and to push the agenda forward in a constructive, articulate way, as opposed to using guns and fists and whatever, I'm all about that. I do understand, having grown up in the 60s and 70s, that it is sometimes difficult to do that. You know, and I know that, you know, from personal experiences, and even myself now, in my current position, I have to work in a male-dominated environment, and I have to push the agenda for minority and women-owned businesses. And, you know, I have to deal with a lot of the negative comments and things, you know, but I always try to take the upper hand on those situations as opposed to violence. But this is a different time, and I can't pass judgment on those that had to come out of the Jim Crow 50s and 60s and move the agenda forward.
Minister, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, complacency has to be attacked, and you have to attack it from all positions. And I don't think that we have to discuss whose philosophy was stronger or more appropriate for the times.
And I hate to interrupt you.
I got it. I got it.
That's a great way to end the conversation. Thank you to everyone here. And
Thank
we're
going
to turn to the president now.